Good morning, listeners. This week, we will be continuing with the series Embracing Revival, Serving Christ with Excellence by looking at the topic, Effective and Fervent Prayer Accomplishes Much. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Nehemiah 1 verse 6. Last week, we focused on intercession, which is a cardinal feature in Nehemiah's prayer. He was willing to stand in the gap for the people of God. This week, we will focus on the prayer of confession. Confession involves being honest about our sins before God. It is coming clean and acknowledging our failures and shortcomings. It is owning up to the fact that we have missed the mark. We have failed to meet God's standards. Nehemiah states, "And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned." Nehemiah was conscious that the people of Israel had sinned against God. He knew that the captivity from which they had been delivered was a result of their sins against God. Although he was not living in the land, when that generation was taken into captivity because of their sins, Nehemiah recognized that he too was culpable. He was guilty because he was a part of a nation. He therefore acknowledges sins as well as identified with the sins of his people. Power in prayer arises from true confession. Isn't it true that we often rush into prayer without a thorough confession of our sins before God? A shallow confession will not result in the cleansing that we need in order to approach God and receive the answers that we desire from Him. Because of the lack of confession, many prayers are dry and powerless. We must never forget that God will not hear us if there are unconfessed sins in our lives. Psalm 66 verse 18. The depth and power of our prayer lives will never be greater than the depth of our confession and cleansing from sin. Nehemiah was in a desperate position. His prayer was urgent. He needed to touch the heart of God. He therefore was prepared to do what was necessary. God always responds to confession. We have no better example than the case of David. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Psalm 51, 1-4. David had committed the gross sin of adultery and murder. His soul was in turmoil. He had no peace. Having been confronted by the prophet Nathan, he willingly confessed his sins to God and sought forgiveness. Psalm 32 recounts the relief and deliverance that he experienced after bearing his soul before God. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Psalm 32, 1-5. Nehemiah acknowledged and confessed the categories of sins his people had committed. "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances that you commanded your servant Moses. Verse 7. The people of the land had turned from the worship of the true and living God to worshiping idols. Instead of being a light to the Gentile nations around them, they had adopted their practices and hence reaped the consequences of their sins. There was a time when, as a nation, we were considered Christian. Although evil still prevailed, the level of crime and violence, domestic and gang-related, corruption and abuse of every sort was nothing like what we are experiencing today. It is true. It is time that, like Nehemiah, Christ's followers, genuine Christians, pray with fervency and effectiveness for the nation. We need to acknowledge our part in creating the mess that we are in. Nehemiah said, "Both my father's house and I have sinned." We must identify with the sins of the nation, confess and turn from our wicked ways. Then the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14 will be fulfilled. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I will highlight just three categories of sins that are great hindrance to the revival that is needed in our time. Sins of thoughts and attitudes. Sin begins in the realm of our spirit, our thoughts and attitudes. Jesus said, "Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Matthew 5 verse 19. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. As you examine your thoughts, you should ask yourself the following questions. Are there unclean or lustful thoughts in my heart? Am I consumed with earthly pursuits? Do thoughts of anger, bitterness, unloving thoughts, thoughts of fear and doubt fill my mind? Do I harbor attitudes of pride and prejudice, attitudes of lukewarmness toward God? Sins of speech. God's word is very clear about the enormous importance of our speech. Matthew 12, 36 states, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Out of the mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be." James 3 verse 10. Potential sins in this area include profane words, gossip, slander, unkind or unloving words about others, speech that is overly critical, speaking words that are exaggerations of or untruths, and even speaking when we should be quiet. Finally, relationship sins. This is a broad category. Can you think of people that you may have hurt or offended in some way? Jesus was emphatic about the importance of getting right with those you offended before you bring your gift to the altar. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Are you holding grudges against people who have offended you? Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Many prayers get no higher than the ceiling because we are holding inner resentments and bitterness against others. Many people hold secret bitterness against friends or family members. In other cases, it may be towards strangers who have wronged us. Especially today, believers need to be aware that we can develop bitterness towards politicians and entertainers whose values do not accord with ours, or those who offend us in the public space. We may even hold bitterness against God. Some people hold resentment against God because He has allowed some personal tragedies or seemingly failed to answer their prayers. Others hold bitterness against God because He has blessed persons and failed to bless them. Confession of our sins is the basis on which we will enter into powerful, prevailing prayer. prayer that will move God to once again bring about the revival that we need in our times. In 1 John 1 verse 9, the apostle writes, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As a Christ follower, acknowledge your sins and the sins of the nation. Confess to God with sincerity and expect him to respond in mercy and forgiveness. If you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, confess the fact that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.